burger.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time to recap and talk about March Movie Madness. Welcome to Take 2. I feel like I keep thinking that we've been on Take 279 for the last 6 weeks. We are finally on Take 280, ladies and gentlemen, and we are a month away from having done the podcast for 6 years, which feels very insane. We've been doing it for that long. But we're going to talk about some March Movie Madness. We're going to talk about some Audibles, some things that we watched. And we're giving you a Monkey Man review, Dev Patel's directorial debut, action-packed film, Monkey Man. It is your boy, the Sweet Keeks. And who else do we got? Why don't you come on
We
in?
Have the correction police right here. It is actually 279 because Take 277 was the fifth annual March Movie Madness reveal, March 18th.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you skip 278. So we'll go make that edit. So this is really Take 279.
I honestly, for the last like 6 weeks, I'm like, oh, it's got to be Take 279. It's super weird. I'm just perpetually on, it's been Take 279.
Okay, so next week will for sure be Take 280. It's because we skipped that week because you were gone in Portugal and we were on spring break. So
that's true.
But you guys can think it's Take 280, whatever you want it. Technically, it is with that.
I was gonna say, technically, bonus, it is
with that random bonus take out there.
Which, in hindsight, it's like, why did we do that? Why didn't we just give it the next name?
I don't know. And that bonus take was like take, like, I think, like, what, 57, technically?
It was early. Yeah.
It was way early. It was way early. But, you know, doing great. Just give me some warm weather. I'm ready for spring. We are in the pinnacle of sports season right now. The pinnacle really is October, November. That's the pinnacle.
And I would even say December.
Yeah, December's really good. But now we get like the NBA playoffs, March Madness is wrapping up. Get our championship tonight. UConn or Purdue, who you got?
Please, UConn.
I think UConn's going to win.
I hope they do. Run it back just like Florida did 06-07.
Yeah, so I think UConn's just too good. I think they're just from top to bottom too good. But NBA playoffs, who do you have? NBA playoffs, give me your early NBA Finals matchup.
If I had to give you one, I mean, it's probably Celtics Nuggets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't see anyone, like, when you see the Nuggets play, it's so easy. I don't watch a lot of basketball. I love watching the Warriors play. I think Warriors are sneaky, but they always pick it up too late in the season. And now we got to go into the play-in. We have to win two games in the play-in, both away. Like, I don't know. We're a better away team this year, but that's tough. It's so hard. What do you think about the play-in before you give me your playoff like predictions?
I think the play-in is pretty fun because, I mean, last year we had the Lakers that were a play-in team and we had the Heat that were a play-in team. Mm-hmm. The Heat made it to the finals.
True.
Amazing. And the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals as play-in. So I like it. I think it's a do or die. I would say if the play-in with the 7 and 8 seed, whoever get locked in, I think it would be interesting if the 1 seed can choose who they want to play. The 7 seed or the 8 seed. So I think they should look at that because you are a 1 seed and you should have that choice of being like, okay, we'll play. Let's say, for example, the Warriors are the 8 seed and you have the Lakers as the 7 seed. If I'm the Nuggets, I'd probably play the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that would be interesting to throw that clause in there. And I also think the play-in tournament that they do at the beginning of the season was a lot of fun. I think whoever wins that should get an automatic bid into the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean you're going to get a 1-6 seed. It could be like you're in an automatic even play-in by your record.
Mm.
I don't know what that looks like, though. That would have to be...
Yeah, that would be
an automatic bid, then you can just coast. So maybe they did the play-in tournament a little bit later in the year.
That's interesting.
I don't know. But I do like the play-in tournament, and I like the NBA in-season tournament. So...
Yeah, got to change those courts up. Those were some terrible courts.
Yeah, some
terrible
were cool
jerseys,
and some were a little jarring. So mm-hmm. I agree, change it up.
Yeah. Who do you think? Who's making the championship NBA playoffs? Who's winning?
I think Celtics versus Nuggets, and I think Nuggets win it. I think Jokic and Jamal Murray and the other supporting cast are just too good.
Who's a dark horse for you?
The Clippers. I think if all the Clippers are healthy and Ty Lue's cooking those matchups, Clippers could be sneaky.
Yeah.
So that's okay. My prediction. If they're healthy, like, I mean, if Kawhi is like Kawhi of old and Paul George, I can also see the Sixers being sneaky too, with Joel Embiid coming back full.
I was thinking about that as healthy. Well, but him in the playoffs, we haven't really seen a great Embiid in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing, like, dude, the Sixers could match up with the Celtics first round. If they match up with the Bucks as a 7 seed, that could be a really fun matchup with a healthy Joel Embiid.
I also do think there's a possibility that Minnesota could get Denver a run for their money if they meet up too.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Minnesota yet, or OKC. I think they're too young.
OKC, I'm not. But I can see Minnesota has enough, like, vet talent and Ant.
That's true.
I could see it. And I think they match up well. They've got some big guys down low that can take on Jokic. You know,
Edwards, maybe the best actor in the NBA.
True. So many have said that, or Boban.
Sorry, LeBron James.
Yeah, we saw that. I mean, LeBron is maybe a better actor than Michael Jordan was.
Yeah. Yeah. I think LeBron
has more saying.
Yeah, I think LeBron has more charisma, but Anthony Edwards was great in Hustle.
Yeah, he was.
I'm
really
due for
good.
A rewatch with that movie.
What a fun time. Shouts out. Who did we go see that with? I forget. We saw it with, like, Lace Him Up, but who is the NBA player we saw it with?
Raul Neto.
That's right. Yeah. Shouts out from Brazil.
Shout out. Love it.
So the dust has cleared, and settled. We have a champion for March Movie Madness. TC, why don't you give it to us? Because I'm hurting inside.
So it was a very close matchup, and there were some matchups leading up to it. The final four, though, we had Star Wars New Hope versus Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back wipes the floor against A New Hope by like 30 plus votes. Actually kind of surprising with that. Then Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring versus Jurassic Park. Lord of the Rings, easy dub. Empire Strikes Back, Fellowship, championship game. Back and forth. All day, back and forth. Like, good matchup. Empire took like a 5-vote lead. Lord of the Rings is crawling back. And in the end, The Fellowship went on a 13-3 run to close it out and win yet another March Movie Madness. Cheat code.
It is. I was telling Tanner, you know, Guitar Center has like the forbidden riffs. Like, you can't play Stairway to Heaven on a guitar in Guitar Center because they just used to play it so often. And I've said that Lord of the Rings needs to be a forbidden March Movie Madness seed because it's just going to win. It's going to win the whole thing every time.
Yeah. It's had some close matchups. Against The Dark Knight was close. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back was pretty close up until the end. And even the film franchise against Harry Potter for the championship game in 2022 was pretty close. But people just love that Middle Earth, baby. Don't blame them.
It pains me every time. It really does. I do love Fellowship of the Ring. It's nostalgic, whatever, but come on. I just want Star Wars to win one time. I don't even ask for many things ever. I really don't ask for many things, but that is one thing I ask for, is that Star Wars can at least win just once, just one thing.
I know. It hasn't won one March Movie Madness.
No.
Shocking. To that point, I asked all our suites on Instagram. This is only a few hours ago, but this is the answers that we have. I said, what should we do for next year's bracket? Sprank Durf said Best Picture winners. We could do that, but then Return of the King would probably win that. You know what would be actually pretty fun is Best Nominated Best Picture winners.
Oh!
Best Picture. Ones that were nominated but didn't win.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I dig it.
That would be pretty fun. That could be a good one. Best 80s, 90s movies. Technically already did that with a nostalgia decade one.
Mm-hmm.
From Jacob_Bernard_2007. But there is still a lot of 80s and 90s movies that we left out.
Yeah.
for the nostalgia bracket. So that could be interesting. Lazy Cook, shout out Dana, your mom. Lamest movies your parents made you watch. Tantan Ralph said B movies. Al underscore Bob underscore Glock said best animated Pixar, Disney, DreamWorks, etc. We did that in 2021.
I was going to say, it looks like someone didn't read the.
There's a lot of there's a lot of animated that have come out, so maybe we'll revisit an animated in like a few years.
We could do a best of as well.
And then Swaggy underscore Team SMA said best one-off movie, no sequels, franchise, etc.
Yeah, we did that. The OGs last year.
Original screenplay.
Even if you did like an adapted screenplay. I mean, we could also pull like an Audible and do directors too.
Yeah, I've been curious to do like best sequels, but then Two Towers would probably win. Dark Knight would, I would say if we did best sequels, it would be Dark Knight. It would be Empire Strikes Back. It would be the Two Towers. Mm-hmm. And that fourth spot, probably Godfather 2.
No. I think maybe probably Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man
or
2.
Maybe Terminator 2.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2 would be my vote to be.
We could do like comic book movies, but then it's like it's probably going to be The Dark Knight. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to find a bracket where you don't automatically know who's going to win.
That's what made this bracket fun. I didn't really know who was going to win. I thought Star Wars could win. I thought Goonies was going to get a better representation. The Loader came out on top.
They did.
But so I think directors might be the move next year.
That could be fun.
Like the regions of directors.
But then it's like, it's probably Spielberg. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And it's maybe because we're reading too much into it.
Yeah. So if you did directors, would you have like a Spielberg region, a Christopher Nolan region, a Scorsese region, and have like their 16 movies? Or I have like a group of directors, 2 to 3 in one region? Or would you make it smaller, like 32 movies instead of 64?
It'd be interesting. We could do it similarly to how we did the Horror Cup.
That might be good. Because I think 64 movies is a lot for directors.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I kind of liked the Horror Cup, how like we, you know, there were like the play-ins and then they all played each other. And I thought that one was pretty interesting. That one had a good little turnout for it. And you only have like 32 teams.
Okay. I think maybe next year we do a little directors and shorten it to 32. There's a lot of directors out there that have like Denis Villeneuve. He's got like 8 really good movies.
Mm-hmm. Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig, yeah. You have a lot of directors who have now like 2 to 3 like really solid movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then maybe we can do a retrospective of whoever they are.
Okay.
Talk about the filmography.
Put in the pocket. But if you sweets have any other suggestions, let us know.
Yeah. So congratulations, Lord of the Rings. We all know your incredible like trilogy of movies, some of the best movies of all time, movies that will never be made again. But let's see what happens when Dune Messiah comes out. Dune Messiah has been greenlit and is in pre-production.
Heck yeah.
Is in development. What do you think happens? Okay, I want to ask you this. Be honest. If Dune 2 comes out in 2023, does it take all those Oscars away from Oppenheimer?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because I think Dune Part 2 being amazing, I think it's a masterpiece on a second viewing, is it has that sequel effect while Oppenheimer is just a one standoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the Academy would have taken that into consideration.
It probably would have taken all of the Poor Things.
I think it would have won some awards. I think it would have probably won like 3 to 5 Oscars. Dune Part 2 if it came out, but I think Oppenheimer would have won Best Picture and still Best Director. I still think it would have won those two. And maybe Score. Maybe Score.
I think definitely Score. Yeah, I will say though,
Hans Zimmer's score is really good for Dune Part 2.
It's good, but I still, like, I re-listen to some aspects. The entire score of Oppenheimer is good.
Yeah.
All of it. There are some things that are forgettable about Dune Part 2, but that song of, like, Between Sands and Time or whatever, like, I can hear it in my head, but I can never actually say it out loud, like, what the...
Who competes with Dune Part 2 for next year's Oscars? Furiosa?
No.
Anything
Megalopolis, if that ends up being good.
Yeah.
By the time Can comes around, shouts out, I'm going to be there. I get the passes we get, dude. I'm going to go to screenings. I'm going to go to screenings.
That's so sick.
I can't believe it. That's kind of the big. We're all so excited because we're like, I be able to get watch Furiosa. We probably will. Like, that's the big. That's a big one we want to watch. But yeah, once like the festivals start coming around, we might get a vibe. I don't know though. I mean, right now it doesn't look like anything. And thank goodness, what a move from Warner Brothers to delay it.
I think that might have been even for like, I know for the strike, but maybe it was even like, hey, Oppenheimer and Poor Things are probably going to lead the way. I don't know. I still think there's some movies that will be dropped in September through December that will kind of be those Oscar bait movies that might compete against it. So
it's true. It's true.
But right now, I think Dune Part 2 is going to wipe the floor.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Okay. P-Draft?
It's P-Draft time, ladies and gentlemen. I think I have a good draft. I get a draft first. TC, do you have off the top of your head? Hold on. I'm going to see something real quick. Oh, where is it? I just opened up your note. What do you know off the top of your head what the record is?
Yes. So I have me at 9 wins. You have 5 wins, and you've been second place 3 times for group, and you've been a first place for group. So technically you have 6 wins, including that one place, that one first place group win.
Okay.
So 6-9 technically. 5-9 head to head with no other people.
Okay.
We haven't done a draft for a while.
Yeah, it's true. We've had so many different like novelty like special episodes, or we've just forgotten that yeah, I'm excited. I feel good. I feel good about today's draft. And, you know, just to throw it in right now is my first pick is going to be Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
It's a good pick. That is a good pick.
Yep.
Gosh, it's hard to. There's like 3 movies that I'm like, I could take and I would be happy with. But I think I'm going to go with the classic. I think I might get some sweet votes with this. I love it as a child. It was very nostalgic for me. The Princess Bride.
Ugh, I hate that movie, man. Gosh, what an annoying movie. What an annoying movie, man. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, you have some disdain for The Princess Bride.
Gosh, it's ever. Gosh, I just feel like growing up, it's like every, like, kind of annoying adult that I knew in my life was like, you gotta watch The Princess Bride. It's so funny. It's so good. Every weird adult I knew. And then when I watched it, I'm like, it's fine. And it's just like a Monty Python and the whole, like, what is it? Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Is that it?
I don't think it's that scale. I think you're just,
it's on. Not, but it's kind of the same vibe for me, as everyone is always like, it's so good. But it was all the adults and like older people that I thought were super annoying would talk about it. So thank you. You've left Parasite for me, which I will take as my number two.
Okay. For my number two, I'm going to take Predator.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. But you remember what happened. Remember what happened? I got so confident when I took term. What did I take? I took like John Wick, Jackass.
The J's, and,
That was tough. Okay, so TC. The next one I'm going to take, you got to, I want to take this one. It's Princess Mononoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
Little Ghibli one in there. Fun watch.
That is a good one. That was on my list of ones that I was looking at. But I am going to take, it is a blast of a movie, and that is Point Break, baby.
I thought you were going to take that. Okay. Point Break. I thought about it too. I thought about it. That leaves me with a couple, but I think I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take this one because I think it's a fun one, and I enjoy this movie. How can you not like Sandra Bullock? And with Ryan Reynolds in it too, I'm taking The Proposal at number 4.
That's a good pick. That is a good pick. That was on my list.
Mm-hmm.
That was on my list. You might get some votes for that one. I'm going to take, wow, I feel like my list is very unique. I'm going to take a tearjerker, and that's The Pursuit of Happyness.
Oh yeah. Good choice. Okay, good choice. All right, to round it out, I feel like these are like two dark films, but this one is a Denis Villeneuve classic. It's a banger. If you've seen it, you know how amazing it is, and that is Prisoners for my last pick.
Okay, that's a good one.
I know your last pick.
It is Paddington 2 for my last pick.
I have not seen it.
If now, well, let me convey this to the audience. If Keeks, you had seen this, I probably would have taken this at one or maybe two, because I think Paddington 2 is a darling. So, how you feeling?
Will say it does not feel like a lot of people that are not like movie lovers believe the hype behind Paddington 2.
Who's that?
Oh, I'm just saying it's like I think like not everyone like if you like movies, like even if you have like a medium level interest in movies, you've probably seen Paddington 2. But everyone else, I don't think it's as common as we think it is to have seen it. I mean, I haven't seen it, and if I haven't seen it, then almost nobody has
Dude,
seen
you
it.
still haven't seen The Truman Show.
Yeah, that's true. I know, I've got a lot of weird blind spots.
Yeah. I mean, I do too. I don't think Paddington 2 is a blind spot because it is like pretty new and recent. So I think you're good not seeing it yet. You've seen the first one, right?
Yeah. Seen the first one. I like the
Yeah.
first one. It's
Yeah.
fun.
If you like the first one, I think the second one's better. It's cute. It's a movie that everybody can watch, like adults, family. Like, it's the perfect, in my opinion, as recent years, like the best family movie
Okay.
that
I'm
anybody
excited.
can
And the
watch.
new one. The new one is like, I don't know. It probably comes out next year. I know they've been filming it.
Yeah, but too bad the director's not doing it. What's his name? He did Wonka
Yeah,
too.
you had to take that paycheck for Wonka.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so you have as your first pick, you had Pirates, Parasite, Princess Mononoke, The Proposal, and Prisoners. Some good ones. I have Princess Bride, Predator, Point Break, The Pursuit of Happiness, Paddington 2. I feel like all of ours are unique. I think you win because of Pirates and Parasite. I think those two push you over. I don't think Princess Mononoke is going to push you. Proposal, meh. Prisoners, I think our audience, a lot of people have not seen Prisoners. But I think with your Pirates pick and Parasite, I think that probably gives you the dub.
Yeah, and even I would even say that what's it called? The proposal. I think that helps.
That does help. Yeah. That
Yep.
doesn't hurt you by no means.
No. I don't know though. There
But
could be some revisionist history people that think that it's a an annoying watch. Could be.
Prisoner, I mean, Princess Bride, that could help. People love that movie. People love it.
It's true. It's
Okay,
true.
well, I will get those draft results up here to see what people think, what people say.
Well, everyone, go ahead, go out there, get voting. I guess you'll vote right now, and then you'll hear this, and you'll hear who voted for who. But if I have anything to say about it, TC, is there anything that you have watched recently that you've enjoyed, or any TV news? Any TV news, any movie news that you've heard about, anything?
No news, but I've been watching Jujutsu Kaisen. I think I've mentioned that last take.
Okay.
I watched season one and I've watched season zero, the movie. It's like the prequel,
Yeah.
which is kind of it's out of order, but I like because it sheds some light on a specific villain from season one. They're like, who is this guy?
Okay.
And then he shows up and he's like the prominent antagonist in the movie. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the movie was cool. It's like just an hour and a half, basically. And I'd give that an A minus. I think the first season was better than the movie. But Jujutsu Kaisen's sweet. It's Naruto, Demon Slayer. It's got a lot of those anime tropes. It's funny, epic action and fight sequences, interesting story. So loving Jujutsu Kaisen. And I will be watching season two pretty soon to get all caught up. So a lot of people have been telling me to watch it, and it's been a great watch.
I've heard good things about it for a long time.
So that's the movie that I watched for, yeah, that's the movie I watched last night. I did a doubleheader last night. I did Monkey Man with you and the boys. Shout out Jake and Jack, and then I went and watched Jujutsu Kaisen at home later that night.
Ooh. Hey, you know what? Shouts out to you. Thank you for donating to the Kickstarter. It is
Go.
hard to get a movie funded and get and raise money and so thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. I know that like we'll say it a lot, but it truly does mean the world that you're
Got
as
you.
supportive as a friend as you are. Everyone, get yourself a friend like TC if you don't have one. You need it.
Support your friends, guys. That's the call to action. Support
yeah,
your friends.
You have to.
If they have goals that you don't agree with, still support them. You know?
Damn. Oh my gosh. Is that just a coincidence that you said that as I'm pursuing film, or?
No. I don't mean it by that. I mean it just like, if there's, you know, everybody has different goals. You're like, why are you doing that? You know what I mean? But, you know, be a homie. I did not mean it that way. I could totally see how you got that from that.
All right. Just have a double check. Just had to do my due diligence.
That's hilarious. No, I'm a big fan of yours, Keeks, and I love that you chased your dreams. I'm like one of your biggest fans.
I have not been watching a lot of movies because, I've been busy trying to finish up the film for Copper Hills. I think we're pretty done. We've got the rough cut done. We should have our picture lock ready by April 17th. Picture lock is the entire edit is done. We're not changing anything with the sequences. There's scenes in the film. And then you can go and add music, Foley, ADR, all sorts of stuff like that. So
nice.
That is currently what we're looking at right now. I did watch The Omen, though. Me and Becky watched The Omen Friday night to get ready for the first Omen, which I've heard great things about. So very excited to watch that. There's like three horror movies out now that I'm really excited to see. I want to see Immaculate. I want to see the first Omen, and I want to see Late Night with the Devil. So it's probably, I want to see the first Omen, Late Night with the Devil, and then if I have time, try to get to Immaculate. But there's some good stuff.
Heck yeah.
Some good stuff out there playing right now.
Speaking of good stuff playing, we have a good set of movies coming out. I don't know about you, but every time I see the Fall Guy trailer, and that was the first time I watched it from start to finish, was this new trailer.
Yeah.
Dude, here's my hot take. The Fall Guy will be this year's Top Gun Maverick, where I feel like everybody will like and enjoy.
Oh.
Not that it will break, you know, box office records and kill it like it did with Top Gun Maverick. But I'm confident that the Fall Guy will have that appeal. It just looks so fun.
Yeah, gonna have some good legs to it. I think Ryan Gosling at this point is kind of an automatic W for the most part.
Yeah. Does he have some Ken mannerisms in Fall Guy?
Yeah, he's kind of hitting that humor, the humor in stride. I do have a question for you though. So I got this from Tanner K. Ralph. He said, "I have a question for the podcast. Are there any movies that have been so over-marketed that it negatively affected your desire to see it? After what's felt like a year of marketing for Fall Guy, I find myself caring less and less to see it every time I see the trailer. Has that ever happened for y'all?" When was the last time? Can you think of the last time that happened, or if you get sick of a movie because of the marketing? Because I responded like, I kind of just show up 20 minutes late to every movie. I know, like, you can yell at me if you want, if you're listening to this, but literally, I'm not, like, I know where the seats are. I know where I'm sitting. I'm not going to get there early if it's like, if there's no one sitting on my row. I'm going to show up right when the movie starts. And honestly, the more it gets marketed, the more I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, let the movie come out so I can see it so that I can know that it stinks. But what do you think?
That's actually a really good question. I feel like as a recent memory, the one I can really think about with like trailers always, like I would always see in the movie theaters, was Bob Marley, One Love.
Oh my gosh,
I feel like I saw that trailer like 20 times.
No, honestly, the one that was worse was Argylle.
Oh,
Argylle, yeah. I feel like I saw that trailer.
Yeah. I still haven't seen that movie, but yeah, I get what you mean. Like, I feel like
it
Argylle,
stinks.
Bob Marley, I saw a trailer for those a lot. I still haven't seen any of them. So maybe that did. Maybe like what is it, Tan Ralph?
Yep.
Maybe what he's saying actually did affect me that way, because I still have not seen those two movies.
That's true. I've not seen Bob Marley, One Love. I feel like they started having ads for it like a year before it came out, it's not like really uncommon, but it is weird when for like a really small movie, you're getting tons of ads for it at the beginning.
Yeah. So that's like a recent memory that I can really think about of like trailers that were like, okay, this might be a little overkill.
Yeah.
But that's a good question. It's a really good question.
Yeah, I don't really feel like I get a lot of fatigue, because I just don't feel like I watch a lot of trailers anymore. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of which, Cinemark, you guys, their previews are 25 to 30 minutes long.
Unbelievable.
I am like shocked. I timed it for Godzilla Kong, and then when we went and saw Monkey Man at Cinemark, I looked at our watch. It was 10:27, and the movie had not started yet. And we in the 10 a.m. and there was a 10 a.m. showtime.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's insanity.
Like
30 minutes you're sitting there. I mean, that's why, like, I just show up late. Like, I'm not going to go to a movie. There's very few films. Like, if it's like Dune Part 2, I'm showing up there. Like,
you're there early.
So I don't have to cross over people during the film.
Yeah.
But if it's like, yeah, a 10 a.m. showing of Monkey Man, I'm going to show up 15, 20 minutes late.
Yeah. Which we have a funny story about that.
So yeah, Tantan Ralph, good question, very good question. I overall don't feel like I'm super affected by the viral marketing, by like this oversaturation of marketing, but yeah, it makes sense that people would.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So, Monkey Man. Before we get into the review, I show up to Monkey Man. It's a 10 a.m. showing. So the theater is pretty empty. It's a top of the morning is what me and Tanner call it. And we're all sitting on row E. So I tell me, so Tanner tells me, I tell Jake and Jack, okay, get it. His seat is at row E, at seat E6. I show up.
E6, yeah.
The theater is like almost completely empty. And there's some dude that's sitting right next to Tanner. And he's about our age. And so I go, yeah, Tanner, you say it.
No, I was just gonna say, what seat number did you buy? What was
I bought the one next to his, because I thought that like Jake or Jack bought the seat next to his. Or like, so, I thought Jake or Jack bought the seat that was his.
Oh, that was next to me.
Yes.
Okay, so there was two seats filled up. It was E6, and then there was the seat right next to me that was filled.
Mm-hmm.
That was bought.
Yes. And
what
so
the?
And so I just go and I tell Jake to scoot over so I can sit next to Tanner during the movie. Jake is there. He's sitting there in the seat next to me. And then Jack comes in probably 10 minutes before the trailers are done. And he goes and he sits on the other side of Jake. So all four of us are kind of sitting near the middle and off to the right. And again, the whole theater is basically empty. TC, what did you notice when you looked back into the theater?
So, okay. So, this is hilarious. It's like those memes where you see those memes where there's a line of urinals and one guy's right there just taking a pee and somebody walks in and they like stand right next to him. It's just like, so did you see the playoffs or something like that? Those memes were hilarious. Or it's like the classic gym, like your empty gym, you park on a treadmill, you start your workout and somebody just gets a treadmill right next to you. So it had that same effect, but it was weird because let me describe this. Row E is like second row, and then the behind row E, there was somebody sitting in the middle row, in the middle seat of the row, and then the row behind that was somebody else sitting there. So I was like, oh, like, well, I'll just do row E. I'll let Keeks know. And so I buy E6, which is like center, but a little bit to the right, because I figured I was like, oh, Keeks would probably want the middle. Jake and Jack would probably want the middle. So we're all in the middle. And at the end of the movie, I turn around. There's only one person that is sitting behind us, and the other person I saw on the seats was not in that second to back row, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So my theory is that this guy moved from his seat and sat right next to us, because I bought my seat E6 an hour before the movie and there was nobody there. Unless, let's say hypothetically, unless I bought my seat and he did buy his seat at the exact same time.
And would have gotten the same seat?
Right next to me.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing, though. So here's the thing.
Didn't Jack or Jack bought that?
That was
seat
Jack's
number.
Seat. The guy was not sitting in his seat. He was sitting in Jack's seat, and Jake and Jack just assumed that this random dude who is sitting next to you, that you and I knew him, and none of us knew him, but he moved from his seat to sit right next to you in a completely empty theater auditorium. It was insane. I have not experienced a lot of weird things in movies. That is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a
that
movie.
That was weird. Because I think maybe he got confused with the aisle or something. Because, like I said, there was two rows at the back that were empty, and the row right behind us had one person sitting in there in that whole entire row.
Like, he couldn't have even moved one seat over?
Dude, it was weird. I was like a little uncomfortable, not gonna lie. Like, I was just like, okay, like, this is a wide open theater.
As I was thinking about it,
I remember there was, okay, here's how many people there were in the theater. Us four, plus the guy right next to us, that's five, plus the guy behind us, six, and then there was two people in front of us in the row in front of us, that's eight. There was eight total people, just so everybody could see this visual, in the entire theater of a theater that probably sits, what, 70 people?
Yeah, probably like 100.
Yeah.
You
can't make this up.
No, it is probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen happen.
Okay, so what's the theory? That he moved down and sat by us? Is that the theory?
That's it. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. And he sat, like, because I could tell that as I went over, he, like, started to move. But I was like, and, like, I kind of showed up and I was like, Tanner, do you know him? You're like, no, I don't know him. And I whispered to you, like, five times. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. It's got to be it that he just went down and sat right next to you. That's the only explanation.
Well, I wasn't there yet because I came in late. You and Jake were already in there.
Oh, he was there before you were.
He was there before me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. But then that means that he wasn't looking at his ticket and he just sat wherever he wanted to.
I think that's what happened.
Which
I
is
really
like, come on. I don't know. Like, just sit in your seat.
And then
20 minutes into the movie, move. But, like, just sit in your seat.
Oh, what I feel like what happened is he sat at his seat at the top, towards the top, and he's like, oh, this theater's empty. Let me go sit at the bottom. And he sat at the bottom, and then we piled in, and then he probably felt like, I can't move now, like I'm already here. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. Sir, if you're the guy that's listening to this, and you sat next to four dudes at the American Fork Cinemark to watch Monkey Man, do not move your seat until like 20 minutes into the movie has started. Then you know no one is showing up.
Yeah. So that's what happened because, yeah, Jake and Jack said they bought their seat next. Okay. Anyways, bizarre. But I hope he had a good time. I mean, he was respectful. He laughed at the right moments. He wasn't like being loud or anything.
Yeah, he wasn't. No, I mean, like as a patron, like as a theater patron, totally fine. As
totally
a
fine.
Urinal chooser and seat selector, abominable. Social outcast, some would maybe even say, but maybe not. And he also went to the bathroom after all of us, and I was really tempted to be like, what? Where was your seat actually?
I know. I wanted to ask too, but I was just like, maybe this is his seat, but I didn't find out that Jack had purchased that seat right next to us. Anyways, I love that we're beating this into a dead horse, man.
Anyways, Monkey Man is good. Tanner, Monkey Man good? All right, there's the podcast for everyone. So Monkey Man, written and directed by Dev Patel, tells the story of a displaced child that grew up in kind of the indigenous part of India, trying to exact his revenge on those that burned down his village and killed his mother. Starring Dev Patel, a great, great cast of people, great cast of characters, some good villains. TC, what did you think of Monkey Man?
Dude, Monkey Man. I said in my Letterboxd review, it was a triple B movie, meaning it was brutal, bloody, and beautiful all at the same time. Brutal. I mean, you see it in the trailers, the action sequences are brutal. The fights are brutal. It just looks really good. A little bit of shaky cam, a little frenetic, but I think it worked for this movie for all like the quick like transitions. I thought it was a great style. There's a lot of like close-ups. There's a lot of good like close-ups and awesome camera angles. I feel like I was a little bit more, observant in camera angles, and I thought they had some really sweet shots. And then bloody, I mean, self-explanatory. There, it's just a bloody movie, and
not
beautiful.
As bloody as John Wick, though. It feels like
no, but there were some scenes where like, ooh, that's pretty bloody.
Yeah.
And then beautiful. This is more so on the film's making side of things, like hearing about the story of Dev Patel creating this movie and things coming together and how hard it was. So I feel like from a film making side of things, it was really beautiful how it all worked out and how it all panned out. And man, let's just say the soundtrack ripped with,
oh yeah,
there's a training montage with the drums in the background where he's hitting the wheat bag. That was so cool.
Yeah.
We had The Devil Is a Lie by Rick Ross, Jay-Z, Wingstop, Fat Boy Need a 10-Piece was dropped. And yeah, pretty easy movie to watch with everybody that loves action. It's a great action movie and a cool revenge story.
Get a fun little group of friends out there and go and watch it. You know what I mean? Get a nice little group of friends.
Yeah.
And go pull up to your closest Megaplex, pull up to your closest theater to give it a watch.
And let me add, don't even sit in your right seats.
Sit wherever you want. Yeah, just sit wherever you want. Give it a nice little watch. I will say though, like it's a great movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. It is not perfect, and obviously, like, people are going to be like, oh, you know, like, of course it's not perfect. No, like, there's some things that I didn't like. I thought some of the character stuff didn't always work, and it felt like there were one too many themes going on. But other than that, man, it was a blast.
Yeah.
And
when you say themes, like, what exactly themes are your...
Well, because, so you had, like, these storylines and themes of, like, I guess maybe they're more storylines than themes. But you have the storyline of playing back of, like, him flashing back to what happens at his parents' house. Okay. And then he has, you know, the people that he goes to live with, which was a great part of it. But one part of, like, he gets affected by kind of this drug that helps him become more of himself and be more in touch with his feelings. And it just plays us the entire thing that we've pieced together as the audience already, but in a plainer view. And he's been under the effect of kind of this hallucinogenic, and it's a really straightforward looking narrative to retell the story you've kind of already pieced together. And I don't love when movies do that. Like, Joker does it too. Joker does the flashbacks to show that Zazie Beetz was never there. And it's like, well, yeah, we knew she was never there. He's not like we didn't need to be told that. So I think there's a little things like that that didn't work.
In which movie does that happen in?
Remember in Joker when, like, he keeps thinking that he's, like, has that girlfriend that's played by Zazie Beetz's character, and then it's revealed through all those flashbacks, she was never there. And it's like, you know that, like, the first time that you meet her.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that. And, you know, maybe his character doesn't have, like, the most solid character, character motivations, but still a good time.
Yeah, no, I agree that it was a little, it was a little frenetic that first half. I was like, how are we getting here to here? But then I feel like it does come together nicely with it when it shows that, like, full reveal of what happened in the past, because he was clearly damaged by the past and he was suppressing it. And then when he takes that hallucinogen, it opens things up and then he becomes Hanuman.
Yeah, Hanuman, which is like the Indian name for, like, Monkey Man.
So cool. Mm-hmm. But man, Dev Patel, dude, this is a directorial debut, correct?
Yeah, it is.
Thought it ripped. It is, in my opinion, an A-. I'm going to go sweet and sour. I don't do it often, but I feel like this is sweet if you're a big action fan, but sour because it does have some, you know, tough things to see on screen with action and some of the kills that are pretty gruesome.
True. Nah, that's true.
Like, oh, man. Like, with the axe that happens.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, my gosh. That fight sequence, I was like, wow. And then the last act is just an all-out brawl.
Oh, yeah. Like, when it's starting to come, it's like, you know it is not letting up for those last 30 minutes, and it doesn't.
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, here we go. It's like Deadpool when it was like, all right, here we go. We remember the first Deadpool when it didn't have enough money to bring in the guns?
Yeah.
Not that this did, but it was just, yeah, all out. You just knew it was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, I mean, really, and like, some of the action is a little bit, like, we've been really spoiled by these John Wick movies, where the action is helmed incredibly well on tripods, on fixed cameras. There's not a lot of shaky cam going on. And in this one, he does kind of mix it up a little bit. There is some steady cam stuff, but there's also a little bit of shaky POV action that can be a little jarring.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, like, totally ready for it.
Yeah, it is a little jarring at times, but I feel like it just works for this movie. I don't know, because it really made me feel like, okay, like we're here with this guy.
Yeah, it did. And I do think that just some people might, if you feel a little queasy, if you get queasy easily, it could do that for you.
Yeah, for sure.
But overall, I think what this has done for me is it's like, yeah, I need another Dev Patel film. Let's get it.
What does he make next? Does he make another action?
I don't know. That'd be really curious. What do you think? If you had to pick, I mean, if you're Dev Patel, what are you doing next?
I don't know.
Yeah. I
don't
know.
know.
Well, I guess we'll see. Hopefully this does well. It made $10 million this first week, and I know that its budget was $10 million. So and I don't think it's opened internationally yet. I'm sure once it starts getting into like these other countries, I would imagine once it gets showing in India, I don't know if it's showing in India yet, it could be a big hit and a nice success out there too.
So Sweet Movie Morsel is he had been working on this project since 2019, like the vision of it.
Since 2019?
From what I understand, like he really started to like get it rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably had it in his, you know, probably was thinking about it even earlier than that.
I would imagine. I mean, it takes a long time to write something. I was listening to this interview with Daniel Kaluuya, and he's like, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking to write something because you're like, oh, I don't want it to be bad. I'm paraphrasing, he says rubbish. And he's like, but it has to be rubbish. Like, it has to be bad because you have to go through and work through it. So, you know, I just think he does a great job. I think it's a fun little script. Dialogue's not always super on point, but cinematography, the set pieces, and a lot of those like side characters are really fun.
Yeah. So it says, due to budget cuts, multiple shots were filmed with GoPros and iPhones. Source is IMDb here.
Mm-hmm.
And Dev Patel began training in Taekwondo when he was 10 years old. He earned a first Dan black belt in March 2006 at the age of 16. So,
dang.
How many stunts? It says, Dave Patel suffered a number of injuries during the filming of the movie, which included a broken hand, two broken toes, a torn shoulder, and an eye infection.
Sheesh.
I think I read on Instagram that he got an eye infection because he was laying on the bathroom floor during that fight sequence.
He got like pink eye.
Oh, but two broken toes, that hurts.
Ugh. I can't even imagine.
So, and then it ended up filming in Indonesia in early 2021. So, very cool. Very cool.
Awesome movie. I give it an A suite. I think it's really, really fun. It's not perfect, but it's a great time at the movies. So grab some friends, make it a nice little weekend movie. Go watch it on a $5 Tuesday, but please go watch it in theaters. Please support it. Let's get some more cool movies like this. I think we're entering into kind of a renaissance of film right now. We're going to get a lot of cool, low budget stuff like this. John Wick started the exact same way. Almost didn't get released into theaters. It was going to be direct to DVD. They botched that idea, you know, last second threw it into theaters. And now we've got, you know, John Wick 4 last year, I think, made like $500 million. So let's get some good stuff out here.
Heck yeah.
Okay. TC, what do we have out? Is Civil War's out this week, right?
I think Civil War, we can get to Civil War this weekend. And Godzilla Kong, I've seen it. So if you can get to that, we can review that too.
Okay.
I think that's worth a review.
Okay, cool.
And I think we should maybe do our most anticipated for summer.
Oh, summer's coming up. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah, I think we should maybe do most anticipated for summer.
Okay. And
we'll do a mailbag. Let's do a mailbag next week. It's been a while.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And that will be officially take 280.
the real one. But also the real take 281. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We had a blast. Go watch Monkey Man. Go have a good time. And as always, everyone, please stay sweet.
Sweet.